through some tough things. 9-1-1 celebration coming up. 24 years we celebrated this week, the remembrance of that. And so many different things. To see the evil that portrayed itself this week with Charlie Kirk. I was not a follower of his, didn't know a lot about him. I just know a little bit about what I heard. But when I heard him, is just before that bullet entered his neck, make a final plea of confession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just took a trip right on out of here. Amen. Right into the portals of heaven. And God love him. But he was doing such a wonderful ministry to our children and youth and our older youth and going into the college campuses and stuff. Satan just can't stand it, can he? Just can't stand it. If you got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea of love available to everyone. A love available to everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the hurt and the loss of Charlie Kirk was tremendous. But the reaction of a whole lot of our nation was deplorable. Amen. Sickening. Sad to know that our country had sunk to these depths and these lows in their hearts and their lives. And I believe one of the reasons that we suffer the way that we suffer in the decline, we see it in our churches today and in the homes of so many people today, is the fact that we don't love one another. We have come a dog-eat-dog world. Me and mine, selfish. We want to hold back and not allow the Lord to do everything through us as he wants to do. But I want you to know that love is more important than all the spiritual gifts that are exercised in the church body. He's going to name a bunch of them here in a few minutes. But love makes our actions and gifts useful. People know whether you really care or not. People know whether or not you really, when you say I love you, whether you mean that to them or not in their hearts and their love. And although people have different gifts, hear me, church, when I tell you this, we have different gifts, but love is available to everyone. And we can share that love and we can let that love flow out into the hearts and lives of other individuals and them know in their hearts what we're doing. Paul, here in his writings to the Corinthians, says in verse 1 of chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, that word charity there simply means love, I am become as sounding brass, are a tingling and cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all ministries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or have not love, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. What Paul was trying to get the understanding into the mindset of the Corinthian people, and they'd been having division in the church over some different things and ideas and thoughts and considerations and stuff. And he kept bringing them back to the one thing that mattered, and that is love. Charity, And he said, if I could preach the best sermon that's ever been preached and have not love, I'm nothing. He said, I can understand all mysteries, be able to help you with all of your things that's going on in your world and walk you through those things. And have not love, I have nothing, you know. All knowledge and all understanding concerning the various ministries of their hearts and their lives. Then he gets down to basics that you and I can understand in our support that we do in our association to do for the food bank and things. And I carried our little offering in that we took up last Sunday that we take up the first of every month, you know. And I thought the lady was going to cry when I give it because our amount was good this month. And you'd give graciously. And she said, you just don't know how empty our shelves was, especially when we can take this money and go buy the milk and the perishable items and stuff that we need to stock up so that we can fill the orders that we have. The gift of goods, feeding the poor. He said, I can do all these things, but if I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. The problem that Paul, as I see it, was having with the Corinthian church was very simple. And it's the same thing true today. Our society, the world that we live in today, confuses love and lust. We get it confused. And God's kind of love is directed outward, okay? Into the hearts and lives of other individuals and people out there. And with you and I, if we're not careful, we want to direct that love inward toward ourselves. And we cannot be selfish and have true love. Listen what he says, verse 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Now, I'll be the first to admit to you, some folks make it tough to love them, don't they? You have a hard time, you know, truly understanding them. He said, but charity or love suffereth long. It takes a lot of understanding sometimes to deal with some individuals in their hearts and their lives. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And so we may have to put up with some stuff out of individuals in order for us to understand the outward meaning of what God would have them to do in our hearts and our lives. But we don't know the impact that we make upon individuals' hearts and lives and what they're doing. But I remember when I'm the last couple of weeks, as Nazi's health has been declining and new death was very near and stuff, and made a couple of special trips just to be there and to answer his questions. And he had a lot of concern and stuff. And I told him, I said, Nazi, it's where your faith kicks in your heart and your life. And he called his daughter over and he told his daughter, she said, I want you to meet Larry. She said, Daddy, I know Larry. I just been a while since I seen Larry. He said, I want him to preach my funeral. He said, he's been there for us through thick and thin. And he took me way back in time. You don't know what impresses upon the mind of a person a lot of times. But way back in the late 70s, early 80s probably, my dad was on the school board, and Mr. Everett, Knox's dad, called my daddy, and he said, Ray, I got an afflicted child. And said, our baby girl, daughter, is starting school. And said, we live a little distance off the road, and the bus won't come down and pick her up, so my wife has to, I'm going to the shipyard, my wife has to get up, not only get the the baby ready and get her on the bus, but she has to take care of Willene as well, the afflicted daughter. Drag her out, bring her back. Daddy said, I'll be up there. We'll work it out. They did. And they became lifelong friends and stuff. And through that friendship, I involved in that. And Miss Pearlie got sick, and then Mr. Ever got sick, and Pete and all of preached all of them's funeral. And the days leading up to Knox's death here. But he made one statement to me that as I was preparing yesterday for his funeral and thinking about what the Lord would have me to say in that funeral was, he said, if you want to see the definition of love, you look at that man. I said, Knox, I know. He said, you've loved us in spite of us not loving you in our hearts and our lives. He said, we could have supported you better. We could have done more. We could have did. And he said, love here in verse 5 does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh her own. Love is not easily provoked. Loveth, thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth, not in iniquity, not in sin and wrong, but rejoiceth in what? The truth. The truth. If we just come clean with God and let the Lord clean our act up, give us a brand new beginning in our hearts and our lives, the love that he's demonstrating and what love he's talking about here in our hearts and our lives would take care of every need. Look what it says in that next verse there in verse 7. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. Real, true, honest, genuine love. What kind of love's it got to be? Can't be lust. It's got to be love. And God demonstrated and given us his son Jesus to die for. That love's got to be an outward love. It's got a love that'll reach out and say to all these others. I mentioned a little bit in the bulletin a while ago when I was going through the activities that lie ahead for us for the next couple of weeks, an opportunity for us to make contact with those who may have not been to church in a while, to let them know that we miss them, let them know that we care about them, let them know that their pew's empty, and we'd love to see them come back to the house of God. Sometimes in your heart and your life, you may not realize it, but God's at work, and he's wanting us to do our will and what he tells us to do in our hearts and our lives. It says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You know what Paul's saying there? We're just getting a little glimpse of the story. We're not seeing it all in our hearts and our lives. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We won't have to worry about it. One of these days, either through the death or through the rapture, we're going to be called out of here. And we're going to come to meet our Lord and Savior. He said, but when that which is perfect is done, then that which is in part shall be done away. We'll be with him. And he's what? Perfect, isn't he? In our hearts and our lives. Paul told him, said, I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for us to grow up. Time for us to realize the responsibility, the desires in our hearts and our lives to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. And the more we become like Christ, the more we're going to show that love to other individuals round about us. They're going to realize in their hearts and our lives what we need to do. We won't need all these spiritual gifts he's talking about here because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be with Him forever and what He would have us to do in our hearts and our lives. And this is the part I like right here. Look at verse 12. He said, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." Think about what he said. Now we see through a glass. We get a part of the picture darkly. But one day we're going to stand before the Lord face to face and give an account of ourselves to God. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. I want to read you a little story in closing. I want you to listen to what it says in this little story. Many of your older ones will remember Charles Colson from the Watergate days and his activities and how the Lord turned him around and made a godly man out of him that carried the gospel to a lot of prisons and stuff after he himself had been a prisoner and had paid the price. But he met the Lord in prison. And this little story will only take me a few moments to read it. It's called Handcuffed by Love. It said, near the city of San Jose in Brazil is a remarkable facility. Several decades ago, the Brazilian government turned the Humacha prison over to two Christian volunteers who later became part of Prison Fellowship Brazil. The institution is run on Christian principles. With the exception of two full staff members, all the work is done by the inmates. Families outside the prison adopt a prisoner to work with during and after the inmate term. Inside, the walls are covered with inspirational quotes. It is not enough to stop doing evil. It is necessary to do good. Another quote, all honest work is blessed by God. The prison is divided into three security levels: closed, maximum security, and semi-open, in which the men learn a trade, and open, in which they live at home but they work full time and report to the prison every day. When an inmate enters the prison at the gates, at the closed stage, his handcuffs are removed by a volunteer who says, "In this prison, your heart is handcuffed by love, and you're watched over by Jesus." The prison aims to help inmates reconcile with the people they hurt and find peace for themselves. This salvation is possibly because of two volunteers who believed in the power of redemption. Charles Colson, the founder of Prison Fellowship, said this in his visit to the prison. "When I visited Humacha, I found the inmates smiling, particularly the murderers who held the keys that opened the gates and let me in." Can you imagine that? The prisoner that done the murders had the keys to the prison. "Wherever I walked, I saw men at peace. I saw clean living areas, people working industriously. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from Psalms and Proverbs. My guide escorted me to the notorious prison cell once used for torture. Today, he told me that blockhouse only is home to one single inmate. As we reached the end of a long concrete corridor and he put the keys in the lock, he paused and turned and asked me, 'Are you sure you want to go in?' 'Yes, of course I'm sure. I've been in isolation cells all over the world. Slowly, he swung open the massive door, and I stepped in, and I saw the prisoner in that punishment cell. There was a crucifix, beautifully carved out by the Humatian inmates. The prisoner was Jesus hanging on a cross. The inmate stepped up to me and said, "He's doing time for the rest of us. He's doing time for the rest of us." What's he doing right now? That same cross that he died on for those prisoners in that Haitian, Brazilian prison is the same one that died on the cross for you and I. What greater love have any man than he who can die for that of a friend? Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Folks, I want you to know this morning, the greatest thing that you and I can do for our outside world is show them your love. You know, you can talk and brag and say and do, but what you demonstrate, what other people see in you, is the only thing they're going to see concerning the Word of God. Ronnie Cottingham sings that little, you know, the only Bible some people read is what they hear, sing about, praise about, tell the world about in our hearts and our lives. We have a responsibility to carry that gospel to that lost and dying world out there. Would you pray with me? Brother Ernie's going to come, and he'll share in a verse of invitation in a few moments. But I wonder, what kind of love do you have in your heart? Is it a love that reaches out, an outward love, as Jesus had when whoever they brought to him, he demonstrated his love in caring for them and helping them long, tiresome days he spent ministering and helping others? Can we even have a few minutes of quiet time to share our love to the Father by having fellowship with him, reading our Bible, praying, looking around, seeing is there somebody out there that's hurting, somebody out there that's lonely, somebody out there that needs somebody? May make a grave difference in their lives. Old Charles Colson thought he'd been in every cell in the world. He hadn't seen anything that was going to surprise him. But when that prison door flew back and he stepped inside, there hung Jesus on that cross. Oh, what love. He died for those in that camp, that prison camp, just like he died for you and for me on that cross. And that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He loved us enough, he cared enough for us. Would you demonstrate your love for him? Maybe there's some things going on in your life, some hurts that you're experiencing. Oh, preacher, you don't know how this and what that and all that. Outward love, not inward. You reaching out to demonstrate the love of Jesus, not the love of yourself. God's speaking to your heart. He's showing you a need, maybe in your heart and your life. Give you an opportunity this week to reach out to somebody and just say to them, you know, I'm just thinking about you today. I love you. I miss you. We do that, there's no telling what God would do to bless all that and help us to do his will in our hearts. God's speaking to you this morning. He's telling you, Lord, I'm asking you to stir our hearts, show us. Bring to our mind the remembrance of somebody that we could call. Say, you know, I know it's been a long time, and I'm sorry I hadn't gotten back with you earlier. But the Lord's just laid you on my heart this week, and I'm praying for you. And you know, it blessed my heart, and I know it blessed God's heart. If you'd come back to church, come share with us. Come be with us. We're having a wonderful time. Might make a difference in what you do in the life of that individual. Whatever, God, we need to do, give us the courage to do it. These altars are open, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie.
Softly.